Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message, brought to you by Pastor Robin. See you at church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here this morning. How is everyone? Yeah, you've all had a good week? Awesome. We had a good week this week. Pastor Vic had a birthday this week. Yeah. And he's got his new birthday cap on this morning, haven't you, dear? That's awesome. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Vic. Happy birthday to you. Hip, hip. Hip, hip. Awesome. Well, what a great day to be in church. Can I just encourage you all, next Sunday is going to be a real special day. Every day is special in church, but next Sunday is going to be more so because there's some special things that have been organised. So can I encourage you to bring someone with you, invite people you've been praying for, and don't be afraid to invite. Step out of your comfort zone and say, look, we're having a great day and we've got food because the food's going to be good. So just don't hesitate to ask people that God lays on your heart because God wants to do something really powerful in this community, doesn't he? And beyond. This morning, I want to bring you a word that has been really on my heart, and I want to read to you from the book of John chapter 1. If you've got the PowerPoint, that would be great. John chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, as we're entering into this Christmas season, Lord, that your word is so perfect. And Lord, as you send your word this morning, I pray it would touch every heart in this place. And everyone who listens to this podcast, Lord, you know every need, you know every cry of every heart. Lord, you know, and God, you are able. And so, Father, this morning as I bring this word, I ask that you would, Lord God, make my tongue as the pen of a skillful writer. Lord God, I pray that each one in this place would receive what you want them to hear. Lord, not my words, but yours. For your words are spirit and they are life and they are truth. And so, God, we just commit this time into your hands in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. This morning, ordinarily we'd be bringing the Gospel of Matthew or Luke at this time of the year, but this morning I really want to look at this aspect of the Gospel of John, which in a nutshell is the Christmas story. For those of you who are old enough, you may remember a song back in the 90s by a lady called Joan Osborne called What If God Was One of Us? Does anyone remember it? Yeah. It got heaps of awards. It was one of those breakthrough songs in the time. And it's a song of spiritual questioning. It's about our concept of God in a modern age. And the chorus says, what if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just a stranger on a bus trying to make his way home. You know, and it was reported that when that song first began playing, the radio stations were inundated with calls from listeners who were absolutely bowled over and enamored by the idea that God would become one of us and that God would actually show up on our planet dressed in what we know as the frail clothing of humanity, that God would do that. See, back in the 90s, the internet wasn't like it is today, and we didn't have access to all of the information that we have today. So when someone like Joan put this song out, what if God was one of us? I guess in many respects it made people start thinking, well, what if he was? What if he was? Guess what? He clothed himself in frail humanity and became one of us. The whole words of the song are fairly... you can't build theology on it for sure. They may seem irreverent, and certainly they've got no theological precision except for the fact that they capture the heart of the God of heaven who sent his son to become one of us. And this morning I just want to look at that, and I want to look at it through the eyes of the book of John. You know, the first 14 verses of John, it's incredibly beautiful how it's written. I love poetic writing. I love how, you know, writing can just take you to a place, transport you to a place of absolute beauty and opening your head and your heart to concepts that the author wants you to think about. And, you know, as we do that, we just see God in those passages of scripture. But let's look at a few parts of that scripture this morning, and let's look at how some of the truth that's in these few lines can transform our lives if we allow it to, not just at Christmas, but at every day that we live. So John 1 to 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The first thing we see here is that the Word is God. You see, to the Jewish mind, a word was far more than a sound. A word was something which had an active and independent existence and which actually went out from the speaker to do things. Sometimes we need to read the Word of God with the light of put on our Jewish glasses and see what was really meant to be said. What was the author saying at that time in the culture and the times that it was written in? You know, as that word goes forth, it does powerful things. And it says it in Isaiah 55, so shall be my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You could see it as his word, God's word, being sent out on a mission to accomplish something and then coming back when it's completed to say mission accomplished. And you know, when we bring the word, when we speak a word into someone's life, we're believing that as that word goes forth, if that's a God-breathed, God-birthed word, that it's not going to come back void, not going to come back empty. It's going to accomplish what God wants to send it to do. And it's going to prosper in the thing that it's sent to work within as well. So what that means to you is that Jesus is God. God became the Word. And you know, we did it this morning, we worshipped. And that Word, that living Word of Jesus needs to be worshipped. He's amazing. In John chapter 20, you know the story about doubting Thomas? Thomas had the greatest revelation of all, and it's a revelation we all need to have. He says, "My Lord and my God." He doubted, and then he had this revelation of Jesus, "My Lord and my God." You see, Jesus just isn't a good man. He isn't just a good teacher or a prophet or a representative from God. Jesus Christ is God. He's the Word. He's God. He is incarnate. He came as a man. And that's what Christmas is all about. He came as a baby in a manger in frail humanity. And as he grew up, he revealed himself as the Son of God, the living God, who's able to do incredible, incredible things in each life of every one of us. For each of us here today, we've all got stories of what Jesus has done in our life. And because of that, we have a testimony and we know what he wants to do in the hearts and the lives of those that we love as well. You see, Jesus is not just the second member of the Godhead. He is God. He became flesh. And as such, we owe our lives to him because he gave his life for us. And John 1:3 says, "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." All things made through him. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God, he created the heavens and the earth, and he made all things." Colossians 1:16, Paul's writing about the preeminence of Christ, and he says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." And if we look at the Trinity, we can say that the Father, perhaps in one sense, maybe we could say the Father is the planner. The Son, Lord Jesus Christ, is the doer, and the Holy Spirit is the revealer, that all that he does, and as that is such an amazing thing, we can see it in the act of redemption, that God plans our redemption, that Jesus does it for us. He pays the price on the cross, but the Holy Spirit reveals it to us so that we can have those scales fall from our eyes and know that Jesus died for me. It becomes so personal. It's not just a theology and it's not just a doctrine that is dusty and dry. It is absolute life that God planned that we would come to him. From the foundation of time, when we were knit together in our mother's womb, God had a plan for us. He had a purpose for us. He had the perfect timing for us to come to a place of knowing him. He knew the day that we'd be saved. He knew the moment that we would give our lives to Jesus. He knew every circumstance leading up to that time when we would come and fall on our knees or fall on our faces or just cry out of desperation, say, "God, save me. God, come into my life." You see, that's the reality of the gospel, and that's the reality of what we celebrate at this time of the year. And you know what? It should be the reality of what we celebrate every day of the year when we're in Christ. Because when we're in Christ, we're new creations. The old is gone. Behold, all has become brand new. And we can celebrate that Christ died for us. And Christ raised us up from that grave. And you know, when we do our baptisms in a fortnight's time, it's symbolic of going down into the waters of death and raising up as a new creation. And Andrew, you know about that now, don't you? Andrew was baptized 11 days ago. But who's counting? So for those of you who want to be baptized, just let us know. We're going to have an awesome day on the 22nd. But you know what? See, all of the Trinity was involved in creation. The Father spoke. The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth. And as that direct act of creation, you know, God, if you put it in secular terms, you can say God created. He has the patent and he has the copyright of everything he created. God created you and me. Does he have our patent? Does he have a copyright on us? Does he have the right in our lives to say, "This is my child"? Do we look to our Father and say, "You're my creator, I'm totally belonging to you. You have the patent, you have the copyright on me"? Some days we can say yes. Other days it's not so easy when we try and do things in our own strength and our own way. When we try and dig too deeply into circumstances and not walk by faith and not acknowledge, well, God, you are the author, you're the creator of my life, your plan for me is amazing. And it's not all outworked yet, but like Trevor preached last week, the destiny that he has, that God has for every single one of us, is not complete until we go home to be with him. So as we choose each day to worship Jesus, the Word, who became flesh and dwelt amongst us, we can say, Lord, I'm not where I was. I'm not where I'm going to be either. But today, I'm going to walk in you. And all that you have for me. Can we truly say, I'll live life 100% for you, Jesus, because you gave your 100% life for me. We're bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot or blemish. Amazing God, Jesus, have your way in my life. Do we truly say, I'm here to do your will? Not because we have to, but because we love him. You see, the reality of it is that life with Jesus isn't a bed of roses, but it's a whole heap better than what it was without him. Isn't that the truth? And his plan is perfect. Our circumstances, everything that we live in and with, and surrounding our personal world, our lives, the number of our days, our families, our finances, our everything, our health, when we choose to give it to him, then he can work in every situation that we have. It's a choice. And then John 1:4 says, in him was life. Say life. Life. The opposite of death. Isn't that awesome? He's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Have it to the full, one version says. The word is life. That is eternal life. It's life here and it's life hereafter. When we do finally go home to be with the Lord, we have abundance of life in eternity with him. How many of us are living in the fullness of the life that God has planned for us? You see, until we really know Jesus, we don't understand the gift of life that he's given us. That life is eternal. You see, all spirit beings live forever, and we have spirit. We are spirit beings. We're born of the Father, born of the Son, by his Spirit. We're born again by the Spirit of God. So his Spirit lives within us. That means we have eternal life now, from this moment forward, from the moment we say, yes, Jesus, have my life. Amazing, amazing. But this life, this Zoe life, is it referring to the afterlife? Or is it referring to the quality of life that God wants us to have now? The quality of life where we wake up every morning and say, thank you, God, that I woke up again today. The kind of life that we can say, thank you, God, that you've prepared good works for me to walk in today. The kind of life that says, you want me to be a blessing to someone today, take me to that person. The kind of life that says, when life gives me lemons, I'm going to make lemonade out of it. The kind of life that is the Zoe life. That means that no matter what's happening in your life, there is a silver lining in every cloud that is in your life if we look for it and if we trust God and if we take our circumstances and give them to him daily, because he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And when that burden of his comes upon us, he gives us the strength to walk in that every day, every day. We don't think about yesterday, it's done. We don't walk to tomorrow, we do today. Planning to die of a very old age or go in the rapture, however God wants to do it in our lives. But in the meantime, we want to live life and live it to the full. Live it in him. Live it praising him. Live it with a positive attitude. Live it making choices that reflect who Jesus is You see, it's the Spirit who gives life. John 6:63, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And that's what I want. I want that life. Not just when I'm having a good day. I want that life every day. And I'm sure you do too. You see, we have natural bodies in a natural world. But we're not to be led by the flesh. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. As the people of God. As the people of the Word. People of the book. Middle Easterns call us the people of the book. In capital letters. You see, it's the Word that will bring the change in us. It'll give us the direction. It'll give us the purpose. It'll cause us to make that paradigm shift from out of the flesh and dealing with everything from an emotional level, and this is how I feel and this is what's going to dictate what I do today and how I react and respond to everyone today, to a place where I shift around and take all those circumstances into the Spirit of God, commit it to God and say, Lord, this has happened. What do you want to do through these circumstances? What do you want to do in me today through these circumstances? I choose to take hold of those things of the flesh and bring them into the Spirit so God can work in me and through me. And that's an ongoing battle, people, and maybe it just is for me. But it's an ongoing battle because things hit you in the flesh. Things hit you in the head. We get bruised, we get battle weary. But it's a choice every day. I submit this to you, Lord God. I choose this day to take the higher road and walk with you and be led by your Spirit and not respond out of negativity, out of hurt, out of pain or suffering. To be real with God, say, this is how I feel, God. What do you want to do in me? How do you want to flow through me? How is this going to transform me and make me more Christ-like? It's just an ongoing work, isn't it? For all of us. For all of us. You see, Jesus was submitted to the Father. He fully loved the Father. And he genuinely loved people. Jesus is life. And he makes your life worth living. You see, a life that's focused on ourselves, self-centered and self-focused life that's all about making yourself happy is a life that's only going to produce a few good things. But a life worth living is the life where we have God at the center of everything we do, that we are Christ-centered, God-focused, Spirit-led, Word-inspired people. It's a life submitted to God, loving the Father and loving others, whether they're lovable or not in the natural. You see, there again, when you look at someone and they may not look so lovely, what does God see in them? See with the eyes of the Spirit. See through God's eyes how wonderful and beautifully made they are and the plans that God has for their lives. You see, a life worth living is focused on giving God glory, loving God, loving people. And then John 1, 4b to 5, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You see, we see that light in creation. In Genesis, the earth's in chaos and darkness until God says, let there be light. And Jesus, he's the light of the world. He came into the world as the light, the life and the light. And in 8:12 of John, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, light dispels the darkness. It shows us the way. And Jesus' life is the light of men. The world apart from Christ is in chaos and darkness, and we see it every day around us. And it's difficult to find your way around when you're in the dark. Who's ever tried to navigate from the light to the bed in the dark? You bump into things, yeah. Or in a strange room, like you might be staying at someone's house and you're trying to navigate your way around and it's so dark and you don't know what's happening and you bump into things and you get bruised and you get hurt, you stub your toe and you say things you probably shouldn't, you think things you probably shouldn't even if you don't say it. You get bruised. And life is like that. You know, if we try to navigate through life in the darkness in an attempt to make ourselves happy, to find things that will make ourselves happy, to satisfy those deepest needs, we're going to bump into things in the dark. You know, we mess up. I don't know how many of you can remember what your life was like before you became Christians, before you became believers, before you came to Jesus. But I remember what my life was like. I was a mess. I had messed up big time. And then I remember, you know, I think about all the times I'd bumped into things in the dark, in the darkness that was my life, and the bruises. And you know, those bruises, the things that happen to us, the things that happen in our soul realm, you know, are things that only Jesus can heal when we come to him. Mess up, big time. You see, he's the light. Amazing. I am the light of the world, he said in 8:12 of John. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness but have the light of life. You see, the problem is that the whole of the human race has failed to see that Christ's way to live is the right way to live. Wherever the gospel of Christ has gone out, it's brought light into darkness. And when mankind rejects that light or turn away from it, darkness pervades. It really does. We look at John 1, 6 to 9. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. You see, John's whole purpose was to point to Jesus, as is ours. Our purpose, to point to Jesus. You see, we're not to make disciples of ourselves because we're not their answer. We're infallible. We'll mess up. We'll disappoint. We've got to make disciples for Jesus. You see, Jesus is the source of all that they're looking for. Any time that someone's ministry draws attention to itself and away from Christ, it misses its purpose. You see, just like the moon has no light of its own but reflects the sun, we've got no light of our own, but we're to reflect the Son of God. We're to reflect Jesus. Jesus is to shine out of us into this lost and dying world, and especially at this time of the year. Jesus said he was the light of the world, but later he says that we are to be the light on the hill. We're to be as a city on a hill and not hide our lights, to shine for him. But our light is to be a reflection of him and point people to him. And you see, the only way we can do that is if we follow him with all our hearts. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Christmas. The Word became flesh. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who came, he left the glory of heaven and he put on flesh, goosebumps, and came as a babe to live a sinless life, to be crucified, take upon himself the punishment for all our sin, and to bring us life, to free us from the sin of curse, the curse of sin and death. You just think about that. That God, the Son in heaven, came to earth to pay the price for every single person that has ever been born, ever will be born, to make a way that every single person on this earth can have that redemption, have salvation, no life in him. But the choice is ours. You think about God leaving heaven and all of the angels and the glory of heaven, and saying, I'm going to come down. What if God was one of us? Think about it. Amazing. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, when God came into the world as the person of Jesus Christ, mankind didn't recognize him, and they're still not recognizing him. Mankind rejected him, and they're still rejecting him. 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, they rejected him. They rejected him through Judea and Samaria. They're still rejecting him. But we know that God wants to shine through us. His life is in us. His light is in us. He wants to work through us. You see, Matthew chapter 7 says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. You see, there are far more people that have rejected God than have received him. But we want to change that. Amen? We want to change that in the days that we're living in. We want to make a difference for Jesus in this community of Murray Bridge and beyond with the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to lead people deeper into relationship with him so that everyone would know the purpose they were born for, the life that God has for them, that they would receive him as Saviour and as Lord. You see, there's lots of philosophies out there that teach universalism and many ways to God and many paths to enlightenment and all of those things, but Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you know all of this. We're all believers in this place today. We know all of this. But the purpose of the message today, what it's worked in me is what is it that God wants to do in and through me? What is it that he wants to make of his word in me, his life in me, his light in me? And, you know, to point people to Jesus. What is it that he wants to do today in our lives to make an impact for him so that rejection of Christ becomes a thing of the past, so that God anoints us to be fruitful wherever we go and not just super spiritual and, might I say, useless, but useful in God, a purpose in God. Not blindly doing the things that we think are going to earn us anything good other than God's favour, but being absolutely focused and centred and obedient to the things that God says, today I want you to do this. You see, if each one of us, if everyone who believes in Jesus all over the world every day said, Lord, let me do what you want me to do today. Today, what do you want me to do? If every one of us did that, we would all be hitting the mark every day. We'd be pleasing Father. He can't love us any more than he already does. But what are we doing for Jesus? And how much of ourselves have we yielded to him? This has really challenged me, because I know that God wants to do wonderful things through this church and through every person that's part of this church. And I'm excited and I'm faith-filled, and Pastor Vic and I, as we pray, Lord, let your glory fill this earth as water covers the sea. As we go about this wonderful city of Murray Bridge, Lord, touch that one. Lord, touch that one. Lord, bring that one to yourself. Lord, heal that one. Lord, restore that one. You know, you see, if we're God-focused, We take our eyes off ourselves and our circumstances, and if we're about Father's business, He goes about ours. Amen? And He gives us joy as we do it. You see, the word's got to be received. Jesus is eternal life. And you know, this time of the year, it's the most amazing time of year to think about just who Jesus is. He's the Word, He's life, He's light, He's so much more. I can remember hearing Chuck Missler speak about a poem, and I don't know who to give credit to for this, except this is where I heard it from. But who is Jesus? And if you bear with me for a minute, I'm just going to pray that as I read through these things that He is, faith's going to rise in each one of you. That faith is going to rise and joy is going to come, and today you're going to get a fresh revelation of just who He is, the Word made flesh. So who is He? He's the forgiver of our sins. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's the anchor. He is the advocate. He is the answer. He is the authority. He is the avenger. He's the anointed, the author. He is our all in all. He is our atonement. He is the bright and morning star. He's the bridegroom. He's the beloved. He's the blessed. He's the creator. He is the Christ. He's the counselor, the compassionate. He is our consolation. He's our commander in chief. He is our deliverer. He is our defender. He is the door that we walk through. He is the dayspring. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the everlasting Father. He is the express image of God. He is eternal. He is exalted. He is excellent. He is everlasting life. He is enduring. He is forgiving. He is our friend. He is faithful. He is the fountain. He is the fire. He is the friend of sinners. He is the first and the last. He is our guide. He is grace. He is the giver. He's the glory of Israel. He is our hiding place. He is the Holy One. He is the healer. He is the great I am. He is the intercessor and our inheritance. He is our justification. He is the Word made flesh. He is incarnate. He is the Nazarene, the kinsman redeemer. He is our keeper. He is our King of kings and our Lord of lords and our King eternal. He is the King of the Jews. He is the Lamb of God. He is our light and our salvation. He is our life. He is our Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord of glory. He is our majesty and our Messiah. He is mighty. He is a mediator. He is merciful and He is measureless. He is the overcomer. He is the Omega, the only begotten Son. He is the prophet and priest, the Prince of Peace, the Physician, the Prince of Life. He is the Paraclete, the power of God, the Redeemer, the Repairer, the Righteous Branch, and the Refiner. He is the refuge and strength. He is the resurrection. He is righteous. He is rejected. He is our reconciliation. He is the root of David. He is the rock of offense. He is our rock. He is our restorer, and He's our rewarder. He's our Savior. He's our sanctifier. He's our strengthener. He is steadfast, sufficient, suffering, strong, and He is our salvation. He is our substitute. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the servant King. He is the shepherd of our souls. He is the sanctifier. He is the Shekinah. He is the tower of strength. He is transfigured. He's the truth, and He's true, and He's tender. He is unsearchable. He is the Uniter. He is the voice of God crying in the wilderness. He is the Word and He is worthy. He is the way. He is wisdom. He is wonderful. He is our yes. Amazing God. He is the God. He loves you. He loves me. He loves this world. He died for us. And this morning, as I finish, my prayer is that each one of us today would receive that fresh revelation of just who he is and fall in love with him again to a deeper way, in a deeper way, so that when we leave this place, we can go out empowered by his Spirit, armed with a fresh knowledge of God's love for us and for the world, that we can make a difference in our world, that we can bring him to a place wherever we are, no matter what our circumstances are, and that we can walk in the joy that he has for us. And I'm sorry I get emotional about these things, but he is amazing. He is amazing. Actually, I'm not sorry. This is who I am. So, Father God, we just thank you this morning, Lord God, for the power of your word, that your word is life. Lord, you sent your word. Lord Jesus, you became flesh and you dwelt amongst us and you still live with us today by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, that you're not finished with us yet, that you have a work for us to do. Father, we thank you today for a fresh revelation of how amazing you are, of how awesome you are, of how much you want to work in our circumstances, of how much you want to work through us, Lord, of how you want to heal us, of how you want to take us to a fresh place and a fresh revelation of you, Lord God, as the risen Lord and the King, so that we can be mediators with you, Lord God, of bringing the good news to the lost and a dying world. Father, we thank you today for this Christmas season, Lord God, where all eyes turn to the reason for what we do at this time. And Father, I thank you today that as you give us those creative ideas and places where we need to be, Father, I thank you that you work through us and you work in us, Lord God. God, we praise you and we thank you this morning for all that you're doing. We pray, Father God, Lord, in the beginning, you, Lord God, were. You had no beginning, you had no end, you always were. And Lord God, you're with us. You're with us every day, every moment of every day. And Father, I pray for each one in this place today, Lord, that each one would receive a fresh revelation. Father, that each one today would receive from you, Lord, their mission, Father God, that the words that you speak to them would not return to you void, Lord God, that each one would, Lord God, move into the purpose that you have for each one today, Lord God. Lord, we praise you, we thank you. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you are from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And God, I just pray that you would just minister to each one today in the matchless and the precious and the most holy name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Lord, we want to exalt you this season. Lord, we want to lift the name of Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, in our family, in our community, Lord God. And Father, we want to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. For Lord, it's all about you. Lord, let us be reflectors of your light. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.